Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel. And we start Yud Gimel Lamed Aleph right at the end of the thinner lines as we go into the wider lines with the words Rav Shimon ben Pazi. So Rav Shimon ben Pazi tells us, when he would be learning Divrei Yomim, Amar Hochi, he would say the following drasha in general about Divrei Yomim. And he says, Kol Dvarecha Echot Heim, all of your words are one. As Rashi says, he would say this about all of Divrei Yomim, that he would say, all of Divrei Yomim, Achas Hein, Harbe Shemos, Atomaskir, Ploni, Ploni, Kulon Echod, Echod Hein. Rashi is telling us here that there are many, many names in Divrei Yomim. They shouldn't just be listed as a lineage over here, but each of the names has to be darshan, and they all mean the same thing. And V'onu Yodin LaDarshan, and we can figure out how to darshan. Rashi says again here, Afa Pishis Stumos Oson, even though it just seems to be all hidden, we can put effort into it. Adsha Onu Yodin LaDarshan, we can figure out how to darshan these words because Mishum Darin and Leel, Kolakofi Beodazara, Nikri Yehudi, Nokat Lohacha. And why is this brought down from Divrei Yomim out of the blue? It's because we're going to end up with the same drasha that we had at the end of yesterday's year, that anybody who's called for in Avodazara is called a Jewish person, Nokat Lohacha. I didn't mention the Tosus at the very top. Really is a reflection back on yesterday's year, but I left it for today because Tosus says that Hanani Mishol and Azariah are called from Yehudayin, but they weren't necessarily from Shevet Yehuda. Again, because they were kofar b'Avodah Zarah, they're given the name of Yehudayim. Okay, so the Gemara starts off now and tells us what Shimon ben Pazi points out, that Divrei Yomim can be darshan this way from one pasuk. And it says, the Ishto HaYehudiyah, this wife of his who was Yehudiyah, why she called that, we'll see. Yoldo Es Yered, Avi Gidor, V'es Chever, Avi Socho, V'es Yekusiel, Avi Zanoach, Ve'ela b'nei Visya, Bas Paro, it really should be pronounced Bisya and not Batya, as many people call, but Bisya, Bas Paro, Asher Lokach Moret. Now, this listing of a whole bunch of names over here, Rav Shimon Pazi says, has to all be darshan. It's all talking about using these names to explain and describe individual people. So he starts off, Amai Kori Lo Yehudiyah. Why was she called Yehudiyah? Her name was Bisya, as the pasuk itself says. So why do we refer to her as a woman whose name was Yehudiyah? And that's the drasha that brought down Al Shum Shekopra of Avodah Zarah. That's why this is brought over here, because she was giving up Avodah Zarah. She was turning her back on the Avodah Zarah of her father's household. Dechsev, as it says, Vateirid Bas Paro L'chotz Ala Yor. She went down to the Nilus to go and be tovelis herself, and that's when she found baby Moshe in the little cradle. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Shiarda Lirchotz Migilulei Beis Aviyah. She was going down to be tovel from the shmutz of her father's house. So the Mefarshim bring down, she was going to be Miskayeris, and this was part of the tovila, was part of the process of Geiris. Okay. What is it? Use the lashon of Yolda, that she gave birth. It says Yolda is Yared. Now we're going to see this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yolda, did she really give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? Of course, Yocheved was Moshe Rabbeinu's mother. Ha, Rabuye Ribise, she raised him. Moshe Rabbeinu was raised in the house of Paro by Bisya Bas Paro. So this comes to teach us a very important idea. Lo Maloch, to teach us the idea. If somebody is raising somebody else's children, Nebuch, a child is an orphan, a boy or a girl, and their parents can't raise them, Nebuch, the parents are dead, and you raise that child, Malo Vakosa, the Torah says about such a person, Ki'ilu Yilodo, you get credit as if you brought them into the world, as if you gave birth. If you keep them alive in this world, you're considered as if you brought them into the world, you gave birth to them. Now, why is Yered the name given over here? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. So, Yered Zeh Moshe, why is he called Yered, the Loma Nikra Shemo Yered, so Yarad Lahem Li Yisrael Mon Biyoma, because he caused the Mon to come down. We know the bear was in the Schus of Miriam, the Ananim were in the Schus of Aaron HaKohen, and the Mon was in the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore he's called Yered, he caused the Mon to come down. Why is he called Avi Gidor? That's the next name, another name for Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's called this Avi Gidor, Gidor, Shegodar Pirtso Seyin Shal Yisrael, because he fixed all the breaches that Klal Yisrael had. He put up fences. Godar means he put up a getter. He put up a fence on the Pirtso Seyin, all the breaches of Klal Yisrael. In other words, the sins of Klal Yisrael, he helped go and correct the improper things that Klal Yisrael did. He fenced in the breaches. Why is it called Chever? Shechiber Es Yisrael Lavin Shabashamayim. He attached us, he was mechaber us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shamayim. A friend is a chaver. You're connected to this friend. So he was mechaber us, he connected us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avim Shashamayim. So now the word is really spelled with a sin, but the sin and the samach are interchangeable, so we can darshan that as well. So socho, why was it called socho? Another name for Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenas lem Yisrael suk kisukah. He was a protective covering for Klai Yisrael, just like a sukkah. Sukkah really means the schach. So he was a protective covering for Klai Yisrael, just like the schach is a protective covering. A sukkah is a protective covering. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's role, so to say. He covered Klai Yisrael. He protected Klai Yisrael. Why is it called Yekusiel? That's the next name. Shekivu Yisrael. Yekusiel is a play on the words Kivu Lokel Yekusiel. Shekivu Yisrael Lokel Biyomov. That he caused Klai Yisrael to look towards Shomayim, to look towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the time of his life. Then it says he's called Zanoach. What does that mean? Zanoach Shizniach Avinoseim Shal Yisrael. Because Zanach means to throw away, so he threw away, helped Klai Yisrael throw away their sins. In other words, he dived into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klai Yisrael for their sins. As most of we know, he davened and davened and davened, and Hashem forgave us for the Chet HaEgel. Now, it mentioned three times over here, it was called that he was Avi Gedor, and he was Avi Socho, and Avi Zanoach. So Avi, 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 what are those extra three words where it mentions that he was the father of? It really, again, we use the names to say that the old names of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he's not the father. So what does it mean? Avi, 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 three times. So he was the Ab B'Torah, Ab B'Chochma, Ab B'Nevius. He was the head. The father is the head. So he was the head of Klai Yisrael for Torah. He was the greatest Torah scholar ever. He was the Ab B'Chochma. He was a great, great leader of Klai Yisrael because of his Chochma. And he was the Ab B'Nevius. The Lokom Ki Yisrael, Ki Moshe. He was the head Navi ever for Klai Yisrael. Okay. Rav Shimon Pazi continues darshining the Psukim that we just brought down here from Divrei Yomim, and it says, Ve'ela b'nei bisyo, and it says, Asher lo kach mored. We include the end part where it says, Asher lo kach mored. Now, was mored his name? We know that bisyo married Kolev ben Yefune. V'chi married Shemo, was his name mored? V'mered? V'alo Kolev Shemo. His name was Kolev. So why is he called mered? So Gemara says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, he's appropriate to call him Mered, because Yovo Kolev Shemorad Biatzas Meraglim. It's very appropriate that Kolev should be the one to marry Bisya, because he was Morad, he rebelled against the Meraglim. They all wanted to go say the Lashon Hara about Israel, and Kolev and Yoshua, they said, no, they're wrong, Israel's a great land, we have to go into it. So he was Morad, he rebelled against the Asas Meraglim, just like Bisya, the daughter of Paro, rebelled against the idolatry of her father's house. So it's very appropriate that he should come and marry the Esau as Bas Paro, Shemorda Begilule Beisavia. That's the girsa that we have. Rashi has the girsa V'yisa Bisya, just V'yisa Bisya, and the Bach has V'yisa Bisya Bas Paro. Okay, whatever the girsa is, it's all the same. I don't think they're actually quoting a pasuk over here. They're really just quoting an idea, and it's very appropriate that Kalev should go and marry Bisya. They both were rebellers. They both rebelled against terrible things. Kalev against the words of the other Meraglim, the terrible Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and Bisya rebelled against the Gilulei Beis Avia, against the idolatry that she saw in her father's house. Now, Gemara goes back. Yesterday we started darshing the Megillah, and we're going to continue today darshing now the Megillah. So it says about Mordechai that he was Asher Hoglom Yerushalayim. Mordechai Yehudi, he was one of those people that was sent into Galus from Yerushalayim at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara elsewhere tells us that Mordechai lived before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash, and he lived till after the second Beis HaMikdash was built. He lived for a very long period of time. So it says he was in the Galus of Yehoyachin, Asher Hoglom Yerushalayim. So again, Rava is the one who dashes many of these psukim. Omer Rava, shegolam yatzmo. This pasuk is coming to teach us that he went down by himself, as Rashi points out. Midaloksiv asher haya min hagola asher hagla sa. He wasn't included in the same thing as Golus Yoyachin. He's listed separately, Shigolam Yatzma, Shahoglam Yushalayim. And therefore, it's coming to teach us that he went down, so to say, voluntarily. He could have stayed in Yerushalayim. He could have stayed in Eretz Yisrael, but no, he went with the people into Golus Bavel. Then it says in the pasuk, "Vahi Omein es Hadassah," that Mordechai was Omein. Omein literally like was he trained her? He raised her. He raised Hadassah. What does this mean? So Korile Hadassah, the Korile Esther. First of all, we're going to discuss the name of Hadassah slash Esther. She's sometimes called Hadassah, she's sometimes called Esther, which is her real name. So you have a machlok, it's Tanya. Rav Meir says, Rav Meir Omer, Esther Shema. Her real name was Esther. At birth, she was given the name Esther. No, the name Hadassah was added to describe her. Lomanik Roshma Hadassah. Why was she called Hadassah? Why does that describe her? Al Shem Hatzadikim. is because the tzaddikim shenikru hadasim are always referred to as hadasim. Hadasim are a beautiful smelling type of a growth, and therefore the tzaddikim, they're called hadasim. Likewise, v'chein huomer, it says v'omeid bein ha'hadasim. When Zechariah describes, that's what this pasuk is talking about, Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah surviving the kivshon ha'esh of Nebuchadnezzar. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocha was standing there with them, and they were among these hadasim. Omeid bein ha'hadasim. Okay. Now, Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rabbeinu's interpretation. He says her name at birth was Hadassah. Rav Yehuda Omer Hadassah Shmuel. At birth, they called her name out to be Hadassah. Esther is the nickname. V'lomer nikra shmo Esther. Why was Esther describing her? Why does the name Esther describe Esther? Al shem shoisa masteres devarea. She didn't reveal that she was Jewish. As Mordechai told her, Shenema, in Esther mageles molaratoh v'yes hamoh. Esther didn't say who she was. The Mepharshim point out, everybody knew that she was raised by Mordechai. That wasn't a secret. As we'll see, Achashverosh would ask Mordechai, no, how can you tell me, how can I get Esther to tell me where she comes from? So everybody also knew that Esther was a foundling. And therefore, even Mordechai could say, I don't know where she's from. She knows, but she doesn't tell me. So therefore, she doesn't tell anybody. But really, it was Mordechai telling her, don't let them know that you're Esther Amalka. There are many, many reasons behind this. Why she didn't tell. One of the most important ones, I think, for modern times for us to understand is that people shouldn't think that they have an ace up the sleeve. They shouldn't think that, we got the queen, she's Jewish, nothing's going to happen to us. But when they saw that Esther seemingly didn't say that she was Jewish, so they said, we really don't have an ace up the sleeve. We better dive into our Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's a very important idea. Sometimes people think, so-and-so will save us. This person will save us. The F-16s will save us. The fact that somebody's Jewish in the White House, that will save us, etc., etc., etc. So these are all false ideas. Nobody will save us except our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the only way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us is for us to ask Him to do so, to daven with great intensity and kavana, to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us, and not based upon any other physical reason or political machination that we can come up with. That's the idea. Ain Esther Mageres Molaratoh V'yes Hamoh. Okay. Rav Nechemya gives a third reason. He argues with Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and he says the reason that she was called Esther was the following. Rav Nechemya Omer Hadassah, he agrees that Hadassah, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, Hadassah was her given name at birth, and he says a different reason, V'lomer nikra Esther, why was she called Esther? Because she umos ha'olam koronosa al shum istaher. Everybody was referring to Esther was so beautiful, they referred to her as Esther because the moon is referred to as istaher, so that she was as beautiful as the moon. Benazai Omer, another reason that Benazai says is Esther lo arucha v'lo kitzara haisa. Esther was neither too tall nor too short, just right. Ella benonis kadasa, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. This bed was just right. So therefore, she wasn't too tall, not too short. Average is sometimes the best. So she was Beninus, like the Hadassah, implication being that Benazai held that her name at birth was really Esther, and that Hadassah describes her, and that's why that's the nickname for her. Another reason, Rav Yishua ben Korach Omar, Esther Yirakrakos Haisa. Esther was the description of her. She was Yirakrakos. She was a greenish type of a color, a yellowish-greenish type of jaundice type of a color. So that wouldn't be described normally as somebody very, very pretty. Ella, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, the chut shel chesed moshuch olea, a chut of chesed, a chen was found in Esther. It says, anybody saw Esther as korea, moshuchem korea, everybody loved Esther, which we'll talk more about a little bit in a moment. So the opinion of Rishu Mekarka is her name really was Esther from birth. And why was she called Hadassah? Because she was this greenish color, like a Hadassah. Yirakrakos haisa. However, the chut shel chesed, moshu chaleh, made that be totally unimportant. Ki ein lo avo ein. Then the pasuk tells us that Esther Nebuch didn't have a father and mother. But then it repeats itself, and it says, uvamos avi avima. And when her father and her mother died, so that's extra, normally. What do we have to tell us a second time, Rashi explains? You just told me she doesn't have father and mother, and then you say, when her father and mother died. Obviously, if she didn't have a father and mother, her father and mother died. So there's a chiddush over here. Amar Vacha, he tells us, Ibarta, at the time of conception, Nebuch may savia. So after she was conceived, her father passed away. So she never even was alive the same day as her father. So her father had died before she was even born, but after conception, obviously. And Yiladita, at the time of her birth, Mesima, her mother Nebuch, died in childbirth. And therefore, the chiddush over here is that she never, Rashi says, she never even could call out mom or dad. That's what it means for most of Yavima. Come to tell us that they never really overlapped at all. Her father, zero, and her mother just for a few minutes of childbirth, then her mother died, Nebuch. Okay. Then it tells us, Uvimos avi avimo, we continue dashing that pasuk, lekocha Mordechai lo levas. Mordechai took her, it uses this lashon of lekuchin, lekocha Mordechai lo levas. So we dash in this as follows, Tana, Mishum Rebeir, the Bryce, we learned the name of Rebeir, Al Tikri levas, he didn't take her as a daughter, he didn't only just adopt her, El Labais, he took her as a wife. A wife is called Bais. V'chein Omer, as the pasuk tells us, Bilo Rosh, Ein Kol, Kim Kivso Achas Kitana, Asher Kona, V'achaya, V'atigdali Mo, V'imbono, V'yachdov, Mipito Tochal, Mikoso Tishte, U'becheiko Tishkov, V'atihilo Chevas. So this is a famous pasuk. This is from Shmuel Beis, where it tells us that after David HaMelech had Uriah Hiti killed by sending him back to the battlefield, so he took Bas Sheva. So Nelson Anavi comes to be Makatre, and he gives Musa to David HaMelech, and he gives the famous analogy that there was this one poor guy, this Rosh, he had nothing except this one little Shepsula, he had this one little sheep, and he took care of the sheep, he raised the sheep, and Vatigdalimo, and he lived with the sheep over here, and the Imbon of Yachtav with his family, so the sheep was part of the household, so it was a favorite pet, and he gave it to eat from his bread, Mipito Tocha, Mikosa Tishta, he gave it to drink from his cup, and the little baby sheep would sleep with him, so to say, Nachas Hashom, in any inappropriate fashion, but he lo chavas, and the sheep was to him like a daughter. In other words, Nosan Nadavi was giving the example over here, this is all a marshal, and he was saying, this Uriah Hiti had one wife, of Bathsheba. And you have many, many wives, and yet you wanted his wife. So that was the Musa that he gave to David HaMelech, that maybe David had done something that was not 100% perfect. And anyway, we see from this pasuk, Bati lo chivas, it means like a daughter to him. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Mishum de becheiko tishka, havaslay. Now, the girsa that we have is livas, it should be kivas. So is that somehow making him into a daughter? That doesn't make any sense. It's like a wife. Oh, Ella, not lebayis, but it should be kebayis. And that's what it means. Hochanan lebayis, just like by the marshal that Nosson and Novi gave to David HaMelech about Bathsheba / Uriah Hiti, that David took her away from Uriah Hiti. So therefore, this is referred to as the sheep was like a wife to it. So Hochanami lebayis. So too we see over here, when he took her as lebayis, he took her to be his wife eventually. Now, it also uses the Lashon of Lekocha, and some of the Mefarshim say that's a Lashon of Likuchin, a Lashon of Nisuin. Okay. Then it tells us further about Esther, the Eis Sheva HaNaros, it tells us, the Sheva HaNaros, Haruyusla, Bibes HaMelech, she was given seven maidservants to go and take care of her from the king's house. Now, what does this mean? Oh, Rav, again, Rav is the one who dashes over here. Shaisa Moneh Bohen Yimei Shabbos. In order to make sure that she knew which day of the week was Shabbos, so she had these seven girls each work on a different day. So the maidservant that was assigned to Sunday always worked Sunday. The maidservant assigned to Monday always worked Monday, etc. And the maidservant that was assigned always to Shabbos would always be the same maidservant working on Shabbos. Why? What was the purpose of this? So the Mefarshim explained that she didn't want anybody to know that she was an Orthodox Jewish lady. And if they had different maidservants, so sometimes she would work and sometimes she didn't work, so it was the same maidservant that saw her working on Tuesday, saw her working on Wednesday, saw her working on Friday, and then saw her not working on Shabbos, it wouldn't take too long for them to realize that she was an Orthodox Jew, and they would know as Molad HaTov, Yes Hamah. So therefore, she always had the same workers. So the workers who worked for her on Sunday through Friday said, oh, she's a hard-working lady. She was always doing stuff. And the one who saw her on Shabbos said, oh, she's always a lazy bum. She never does anything. So therefore, this way they would not figure out that she was an Orthodox Jewish woman. Then the pasuk continues, says, Vaishanea, yes, Naroseva Gomer, says the Chagai, who is in charge over here of all these women, he did Vaishanea, he did something different for Esther, he changed things around for Esther and for all of her Naroseva. So what did he do? Amar Rav, Shechila, Michael Yehudi, that he gave her kosher food. Rav said that Chagai gave her special kosher food. Everybody else got treifa stuff, and she had the airline prepackaged meals. She got kosher food. Now, the obvious question is, so wouldn't that indicate that she was an Orthodox Jew? So again, one could make the argument over here that no, she wasn't necessarily an Orthodox Jew. She was just used to eating kosher food, and she attributed that to her beauty, that well, the kosher food is what makes me so much more beautiful than all the other women. That's what Chagai would think. And therefore, he gave her the kosher food. That was the diet she was used to. And that's her beauty secret. And therefore, that's why he gave her kosher food. Not because she was really an Orthodox Jew. That's what Rav says. Ushmul amar, shechilo kodle de chazire. The girsa that we have is kodli de chazire, and others have the girsa kosle de chazire. On the side it says the girsa in Rashi should be kosle with a kuf, not a kaf. In any event, this was bacon. As Rashi says over here, a foreign language word, bacunus. So bacon, shmenis, fatty shmena bacon, mitoch onso. Rashi says, because Nebuch, she was an anusa, she had no other food to eat, lo nensha, she wasn't punished. Nebuch, people in the concentration camps had to eat trade, so they would die if they didn't eat trade, so this is not one of the things, the harigba yavar, that you have to go and kill yourself for. If the only food that you have is trade for food, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in that situation, you're supposed to eat it. And therefore, she wasn't punished for eating this trade for bacon. Tosu says, chaz v'shalom. Right? In the last Tosu, he says, V'chasa shalom, he lo his ochel, she didn't eat it. So how do you reconcile Rashi and Tosos? So the Sefer Ben Yoda, Ben Ishchai, he brings down that famous Kabbalistic idea that Esther did in fact have a shade that went to be with Achashverosh. The shade was the one that had relations with Achashverosh and not really Esther. And therefore, Esther didn't really do any of the averus that are attributed to her, even though they were averus l'shem shemayim, or she was an ones, and didn't have a choice. But he says the shade substituted for Esther, and so too the shade was the one that ate the bacon over here. So therefore, Tosus is right, chas shom, Esther didn't eat it, and Rashi's right that she did eat it, but it wasn't her, it was the shade. Others explained that it was her narosea that ate the bacon, but she didn't eat the bacon herself. And then you have the interpretation of the Oruch, that the gears over here should be kadli the chizri, and it was not chazir, but it was a type of lettuce, and that's what she ate, and not the, she ate the heads of the lettuce, and not that she ate chazir. Okay, in any event, Rav Yochanan Omar Zeronim. Rav Yochanan says, no, not like Rav, not like Shmuel. He says that she ate seeds. And he says that, I'll show you the mark for this, is from Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, and also Daniel, when they were the young teenagers that were brought into the service to learn the statesmanship, and they would become the representatives of Klal Yisrael, so they were given food to eat, but they refused to eat the tray for food. And they said, no, just give us some seeds, and we'll be okay. The Chaynu Omer, as the Pasuk says, Ahi HaMeltzer Nosei Espas Bogom, the Meltzer, this waiter, this steward, he would go and give them their food as pas bogum. However, they refused to eat it. And then ultimately, they gave them the nosein lohem zeronim, and they eventually gave them the seeds, the poppy seeds. This is one of the reasons why we have poppy seed homentashin, to allude to this idea that Esther ate zeronim, just like Daniel ate zeronim, and Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. So that's the source for the poppy seed homentashin. Very beautiful idea. In any event, she didn't eat, according to Rav Yochanan, anything that was treif. She ate the zeronim, and this is the proof that the zeronim could keep you healthy, just like it kept Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah healthy. It also kept Esther very healthy and beautiful looking. Then it says, Shisho Chadoshim Shemen Amor. They use Shemen Amor for 6 months to beautify themselves. What is Shemen Amor? My Shemen Amor. So we have a couple of interpretations. The first one is Ruchia Barabba. Ruchia Barabba Amar, it is something called Sitakt. That's a certain type of balls, and that's how it's normally translated. And you have the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna Amar, it's Shemen Zayis Shlohevi Shlish. It's regular Shemen Zayis, but it is immature. It hasn't reached a third of its growth, and they would cut it down then, and that would make this type of Shemen Hamor. Brisa supports what Rav Huna said, Tanya. It says, Rav Yehuda Omer, An Pakinon, where the Mishnah tells us something called An Pakinon, that is something that is not allowed to be used for the oil for the menachos. Why not? Because it's an inferior type of oil for eating purposes, although it had a beautification purpose that we'll see in a second. So this anpakinon is shemen zayis shlohei vishlish. Like Rav Huna said, it's referring to the shemen hamor, is this anpakinon that is immature olives that have been cut down, they haven't reached a third of the normal growth, and they were used for this purpose, for anointing rather than eating. What benefit does it have in anointing with it? So shemashir, it removes, it's a depilatory agent, esaseir, it removes the excessive hair that you don't want in the wrong places. Uma'adin is a boser, and it also causes the skin to be much more nice. It gives a nice, beautiful look to the skin. Uma'adin is a boser, it beautifies the skin, the flesh, and that's why they would anoint themselves for 6 months with the shemen amor. Then it says, ba'erev hivah v'boker yishavah. Esther would go in the evening to Achashverosh, and in the morning she would come back. So even though Achashverosh is a horrible person, as evidenced by everything we're learning about him, Amar of Yochanan, Yochanan says, Miginuso Shalosu Rosha. He took all these women in, and he cohabited with them against their will, essentially, and he was just a horrible person, an immoral person. Nevertheless, We always Ezu Chacham Halomei Nikol Adam. We have a rule that you can always learn something from everybody, and therefore we can even learn from Achashverosh's immoral behavior certain things. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Miginusu Shalos Rasha, from the horrible evilness of Osu Rasha Achashverosh, Lamadu Shivcho, we can still learn out something positive about him. Shaloi Meshameish Mitosu Bayom. He wouldn't have relations during the daytime. He only had relations at night. That's why Ba'erev he bought Bavokhi Shava. In the night she came to him, and the morning he sent her away. He didn't have relations during the daytime. Then it says, Vati Esther no se schein beine choruel. Esther found favor in everybody's eyes. What does that mean? Amar Belazar, Malami Shalakol Echa Viecha did Masal lo ki umaso. Everybody said, oh, Esther's one of my people. Everybody saw in Esther their own ethnic group. So the Chinese said, oh, Esther looks like a Chinese lady. The European said, oh, Esther looks like a European. The Scandinavian said, oh, Esther looks like a Scandinavian. The Middle East people said, oh, Esther looks like a Middle East person. So everybody said, Esther looks less like their own nation, and that's why they all found her beautiful. Because she was looking to them like she was one of their own. We continue darshing, and it says, Vati lokach Esther elamelech Ashirosh, abeis machuso. When? B'chodesh ha'asiri, u'chodesh Teves. She was specifically taken in during the winter month, during Teves, right? We're in Teves right now. So, during the winter, the cold winter months, that's not a coincidence. Yerach, this is the month, shenen aguf min aguf, this is the month when people are cold. It's cold outside, so the closeness, the physical heat that's generated, the two bodies are near each other, so that was something that was nice. So the Bedavka, Achashverosh wanted to be with Esther even more during the cold winter months. Then the Megillah continues, and we darshan and says, "Vayehal haMelech Esther mikol haNoshim." The Melech Achashverosh, he loved Esther more than all the other Noshim. We use the term Noshim. Vatisochem v'chesel lefanav, she was found very, very pleasing in his eyes. Mikol haBesulos, than all the other Besulos. So we refer to the other women as Noshim. We refer to the other women as Besulos. Why the double Loshim? So Amar Rav. Rav tells us, "Bikesh litom tam Besula tam." If Achashverosh wanted to have the experience of being with a Besula, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that was the experience he had when he was with Esther, even though she was no longer a Besula. And if Tom Beula, if he wanted to have the physical sensation of having relations with a woman who was a Beula, so Tom, that's how he felt. In other words, he was able to somehow feel with Esther whatever he wanted to feel, whatever pleasure he wanted to have, he was able to get that when he was with Esther. That's why it was called an Hashem, Michal Besulos. And it says, "Vayas haMelech Mishter Godol." Then the king made a very, very big feast. So why did he do this? So it's all for the same reason. Avi Mishtai, he made this Mishter for Esther. V'lo Gayila. Nevertheless, she didn't reveal. Ein Esther Mogedes Malatov Yesamo. She wouldn't tell him where she was from. V'lo Dole Karga. Even if he said, "Okay, I'm going to remove a sales tax in your honor," so now you'll tell me who you are. V'lo Gayila. But she wouldn't reveal herself. And Shodar Pardishne. He sent her lots of very important choshuva gifts in her name to other people. He said, "Oh, this is because of the Queen Esther. This is because of Queen Esther. She was giving her tremendous glory and honor." Nevertheless, ain Esther Mageres Malata the Esther. She didn't tell everybody who she was. It continues with Yikaveitz with little Saint Yisugomer. He then had a second beauty pageant. Now, why did he need a second beauty pageant? Sugmor says he still wanted to find out who Esther really was, her nation, her ethnicity. So Ozil, he went to Mordechai, he knew Mordechai raised her. Shah Kalaitz and Mordechai. So he said, "No, where'd you find it?" Mordechai said, "I don't know." So he asked to Mordechai, "No, how can I find out where she's from? She must know." So Mordechai told the Melech, "Listen, I don't want you being with Esther, so go find yourself some other woman." So ain't Isha Miskano Elabiera Chaverta. So he said, "You want to go make Esther jealous? That's the way to find out really who she is. Because when she sees that you're going to find another wife, so then she'll want to be dear to you. So she'll tell you the secret that she's been holding back from you. Ain't Isha Miskano? A woman will get jealous. Elabiera Chaverta. She sees that you're with somebody else, so then she'll tell you your secrets that you want to know." Nevertheless, of course, Logayale. That wasn't his real reason. He wanted just to get Esther out of the palace and have the king be with somebody else. And of course, Esther did not reveal the secrets anymore. Again, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Ain Esther Magenes, Lolata, V'es Amba, Begomer. Esther didn't tell Achashverosh, the wicked Achashverosh, that she was a Jewish lady. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Gemara continues, says Amar Elazar, what does the pasuk mean when it says, and we turn to Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Lo Yigra Mitzadik Einov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look away from a tzaddik. As Rashi says, no saint, Rashi's here I found on the Tosus side. There's only one or two little Tosuses in the bottom of the daf, so Rashi has expanded to take over the Tosus side. So he says, Lo yigra mi tzaddik einov, no saint einov, b'maiseh ha-tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always looking at tzaddikim, l'shalim lohem, afli yomim rabim. mida b'mida. He will pay them back, even if it may take a long time to do so, but he will always pay them back, and it's mida k'neged mida. The way that they acted, HaKadosh Baruch will always pay them back in that same way. So HaKadosh Baruch never forgets, so to say, about the tzaddikim. So what does this mean? So b'schar tznius shoyis abo b'Rachel, because of the tremendous tznius that Rachel exhibited, so therefore her descendants, zoch soviyotzi b'menu shol, she had a descendant, Shol HaMelech. Shol, of course, came from Shevet Binyamin. And, of course, Rachel was the mother of Yosef and Binyamin. So therefore, ultimately, later on, years later, Shaul benefited from the tznius that Rachel had done. And likewise, b'schar tznius shoyis abo b'Shaul. So Shaul was also, he had this trait of tznius. And he merited to have his descendant, of course, Esther, zoch of Yosef Menu Esther. Esther was zoch to come from that. Now, let's understand this a little bit better. What exactly happened? Most people are familiar with this. My tznius hoy sabo b'Rachel. What tznius did Rachel exhibit? So we know the famous story when Yaakov wanted to marry her, and he ended up marrying Leah first, and then subsequently only Rachel. So what's the story? Dechsev. Vayaged Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyah hu. Yaakov, when he meets up with Rachel, says, I'm your father's brother. Now, of course, he wasn't her father's brother. He was her father's sister's son. He wasn't her father's brother. Achi aviyah was incorrect. How could he say that? V'chi achi aviyah hu. Was he really Lavan's brother? Falo ben achos aviyah hu. He was Lavan's nephew. He was his mother's brother. It was Lavan. And therefore, how could he say that? Ella, what he was really telling Rachel was the following. Amalah, he told Rachel, Minsfully, please marry me. And she said, you know, my father's not going to be happy about this. We have a custom over here that the older girl always gets married before the younger girl. Amalah, so she told him, I would love to marry you. However, miu abba ramohu, but you know my father's a trickster. My father is a person who's going to try to trick you one way or the other. And here we have the custom that I have to get married only after she does. Velo yochlu slay, and you're not going to be able to outsmart him. So he said, no, I could. Amalah, achiv ano abba ramohu. That's what he said. That I am achi avia. I am your equal to your father. I'm his brother. If he wants to be a trickster, I could be just as much of a trickster. I could equal him in his ramos. So she asked him, really, is that right for a tzaddik to act that way? Amalei, so Rachel says to her future husband, Yaakov, Umi shari l'tzaddike? Is it permissible for a tzaddik l'saguya b'ramiyosa to go and act in such a fashion, to act in a way that is not nice, that is ramos, that it's trickery? Is that allowed? So Amalei, he said, yeah, absolutely, it's permissible. That's what the pasuk tells us from Shmuel Beis, where it says, im navor, with a honest person, with a righteous person, titavar, you should act righteously. Vim ikesh, but with a crooked person, titapol, you're allowed to go and act in a crooked fashion. So therefore, if Lavan were to be a tzaddik, I would treat him with tzidkos, but he's a ramah, so therefore I'll treat him with ramos. So Amalei, nu umay ramiyasa. So what do you think he's going to do? Yaakov says to Rachel, let me know. What do you think he's going to do? And this way, I will go and outsmart him. So Amalei, as he said to him, as I mentioned a minute ago, Isli achsa dekishisha minoi. I have an older sister. They were twins, according to the Midrashim, but Leah was the older one. So therefore, until Leah gets married, I can't get married. Lo min sav li mi kamo. He will not let me get married before he marries off Leah. We know that's why, of course, Enei Leah Raka, she knew that she was destined to the older twin, to Esav, and Rachel, her younger twin sister, would be destined for the younger twin brother, Yaakov. So Leah wasn't going to marry Esav, and therefore Leah wasn't married yet. So therefore, my father's going to try to marry off Leah to you instead of me. So they made up an arrangement that there would be certain simonim, there would be certain things. Some suggest this was challah, nidah, and hadlaka saner. That was the simon that they would go and say over. So this way, Yaakov Avinu would know that it was Rachel that he was marrying and not somebody else, not Leah. So mosar lo simonim. So they arranged these simonim. And then on the day that they were supposed to get married, kimot Leah, on the wedding night, so then Rachel saw that indeed her father was going to try to slip in Leah instead of her to be the bride. So she said, Amra, hashda mikasva achsoi. She's going to be tremendously embarrassed because she's going to walk down the aisle. Nobody's going to know that it's Leah. Everybody's going to think it's me. And then, as soon as they go and are alone, so Yaakov is going to ask her for the simonim. She's not going to know the simonim. He's going to say, who are you? And it's going to turn out to be Leah. He's going to throw her out, and it's going to be a big tumult and a big embarrassment for my sister. And therefore, she said, I can't let that happen. Misar tinhu nihala. And she gave over the simonim, the chala, nidah, lakas, and she gave over those simonim
to her older sister Leah, and that's why the pasuk says, "I know the chesed." But he woke; it was only in the morning. He only realized it was Leah in the morning when he could see. At night, he couldn't see, but she gave the simonim. Some suggest again they were twins, so the voices even sounded the same, and therefore he didn't recognize that it was Leah until the morning. Implication being, "Mechal da'ad ha'ashta lav Leah he." Does it mean the pasuk says only the morning was Leah? Until now, it wasn't Leah. No, so that's the drasha that we just said. Let me tell Simonim, because of the Simonim, Shemasa Rachel Leah, that Rachel gave over to Leah. Lo have yod that Yaakov didn't know ad hashta until the morning when he could see that it was in fact Leah and not Rachel. So this unbelievable mesiras nefesh that Rachel did, not to embarrass her older sister, lefikach, therefore she was zochsa viyotsa mimena. She was zochsa to have a person come from her, Shaul Hamelach, the great Shaul. No, Shaul acted just like his ancestor, like Rachel, like his Elta Baba. And Umat Sneas Haisa B'Shaul, he had the same character trait. What Sneas was that? So we know that Shmuel was anointing Shaul to be the king. And after that happened, he didn't tell anybody. Tilsif, yes, Devar Hamlucha, the fact that he was just made king, lo yidlo, Asher Amar Shmuel. He didn't tell anybody that Shmuel just made me the king. Okay, when it happens, it happens. I don't have to tell anybody right now. He was a very humble person. Again, Shaul is one of the most tragic figures in all of Tanakh because he really was a great, great person. In many ways, he was greater than David HaMelech, but for whatever the reasons, he didn't reach his fullest potential and wasn't that he was the progenitor of Mashiach, but instead, it was David Melech Yisrael that would be the progenitor of Mashiach. But in any event, Shaul was great, and Zohar, because of his act of tznius, Biyotza Mimenu Esther, came about from him Esther. The Bach then adds, now here we bring down again the pasuk, Lo Yigra Mitzadik Einav. Here we see that from these actions of Rachel and Shaul, Lo Yigra Mitzadik Einav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always will pay back the tzadikim, exactly Mida Keneged Mida. Esther was, Lo Mageretz Molatah, Yes Amah. So she was also acting in a very tzniistic way. Okay, the Bach adds that idea, but that's really what we've been talking about. Marketing says, Omer Belazar, Belazar tells us, Kesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu posek gedula li adam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and gives gedula to a person, so then posek levonav ulvnei banav, it doesn't stop by him. If the person is worthy, it goes to his children, his grandchildren, etc. Ad sof kol hadoros, for all of his progeny, for all time forward. Shenemar, how do we know this from? Because the pasuk in Iyov tells us, Vayoshivim lo netzach vayigbo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established them forever, and they're elevated in this way forever. And some have the word v'gomar v'yeh, but really that was the end of the pasuk. However, it's not an automatic. V'mheg is daito, but if, because, whoa, look who I am, he becomes arrogant, v'mheg is daito, becomes an arrogant person, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo, he puts him down, he humbles him. Shenemar, v'im asurim bazikim v'gomar. If they are going to be bound up in chains, if in fact they don't act properly, they're going to end up bound up in chains. That's why we didn't have the word v'gomer. That was always in parentheses, because this is the end of that pasuk, but it really wasn't connected to it until now, so therefore now we bring it down. Then the Gemara continues, Darshi in the Megillah, yes, Mamar Mordechai Esther also, Esther did whatever Mordechai told her. What does that mean? Amar Yirmi says, Shoyis Amare Dam Nida L'Chachamim, that she followed the rules, that if you have a stain, if you have a certain type of a discharge, and you're not sure, does it make you a need or not, so you show it to the Chachamim. You show the Bedika cloth, you show the Kesem, the stain on the garment, to the Chachamim. So she would be following exactly what Mordechai said. Kasher Hoysob Yam Noito, just like she was taught by him, so she would continue to do this. She would show the Chachamim, she would show her Rav the stain and the discharge and say, does this make me a need or not? Amar Rabba Bar Lima, and on the side it says, we're not Goris, next words, Mishmei the Rav. In any event, Rabba Bar Lima said, whether he said her name of Rav, Shahisa Omedes Mechekel Shal Achashverosh, she would get up, never from having to be forced to stay with Achashverosh. She would go to the mikvah of Tovelis, and then Yosheves Mechekel Shal Mordechai, then she would go back to Mordechai. Again, the Ben Yoda has a tremendous Kabbalistic idea here, that it wasn't Esther that really went, it was a shade that she sent, and that's why now when she goes on the night when she wasn't supposed to go, she says, Kasher Avadati Avadati, now I'm going myself and not the shade, so this is really going to be bad news. In any event, that's a very interesting idea from the Ben Yoda. Tosfos brings that over here, how could Mordechai be with her, even though she was an ones, but isn't there a concept of havchana, that you have to wait 3 months after, let's say, Nebuch, the first husband dies, a woman gets divorced, so she's not allowed to get remarried within 3 months, because you want to be able to determine, was any child that's going to be born going to be from the first husband or from the second husband? So therefore, you have to wait. So how could Mordechai be with her, right, if she was with Achashverosh? Don't you have this principle of havchana to be able to determine who the father is, if in chance she were to get pregnant? So Tosfos brings down that she was in Mameshes Mamoch. She used birth control when she was with Achashverosh. She put in some sort of a sponge. She put in some sort of an absorptive material so she could then not have any concerns that she would get pregnant from Achashverosh, and therefore the din Havchana didn't apply in this situation. Again, one can't really understand what Esther did over here in terms of her being with Achashverosh. We know Esther Kaka Olam. Gemara elsewhere tells us that a passive act, she was totally passive, she had zero hanah, she was just doing what she was forced to do, and therefore she did absolutely nothing wrong. Then the Gemara continues, Darshanin the Megillah, Bayomim Mahem, in those days, Mordechai Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech, Mordechai was sitting in the Shar HaMelech, Kotzav Bigsom HaSeresh, Bigsom HaSeresh was very, very mad, and they wanted to go and poison Achashverosh, and Mordechai stopped their plot, he foiled their plot, and he is remembered, and we get to the end of the story when Mordechai is brought forward. Kochi is Elish, Hashem Melech Beis Mikorah. Fine. So Amar Bchiya Barab, Amar Yochanan, Bchiya Barab says Amar Yochanan, Hiksev Hakadosh Baruch Hu Adon Lalavodov Lasos Rison Tzadik. That sometimes Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he goes and causes the Adon, the master, to go and get angry with his avodim, with the servants, and sometimes the other way. So here, the first way he gets the master to get angry with the servants, that was to benefit Yosef. Umanu Yosef, Shinemai says, Vishom itonu nar iriva gomer, when the sar hatabochim goes and says, I remember that Paro got angry with us, with the sar Ophir and myself, he threw us in the jail, and there in the jail was this young man, Yosef, and he was able to interpret our dreams, maybe he'll be able to interpret your dreams as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that they didn't do such a terrible thing, yet he threw them in jail, they were there for a while. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that sometimes the master, the king of Ian Paro, got angry at the Sara Ovin, Sara Tabachim, to benefit Yosef. And sometimes the other way around. Sometimes Avodim Alunim. Sometimes he makes the servants angry at their master. Lasos Nesel Tzadik. And again, to order to benefit the Tzadik. And who is this? Uman Mordechai. Here it's to benefit Mordechai. The pasuk says, Vayivada Dovor LeMordechai. The Gomer. That it became known to Mordechai, the plot of Bigson and Seresh, what they were doing, as the Gomer will now tell us, and therefore the Avodim got angry at their master, and they want to kill their master, they want to kill Achashverosh, and that was all for the benefit of Mordechai, that he should hear it and foil their plot. Now, what happened? Amar Yochanan. Yochanan tells us, previously this memory was stated over in the name of Rav Yochanan's Talmud, Rav Chiya Bar Abba. In any event, Mustama, they both said it. Rav Yochanan said, Big son of Seresh, these two officers of the court, Shnei Tarsim Habu, they were from Tarsis, they were Tarsians. And they spoke their language, which was not well known to anybody else, because there weren't a lot of Tarsians around there. And therefore, they thought they could speak with impunity, because they were speaking a foreign language, in front of Mordechai, who was nearby. It was Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech, and they were talking, they went outside to the Shar HaMelech, and they were talking in the Tursi language, and they thought Mordechai wouldn't understand. And they said to each other, one said to the other, V'omrim, and they said, Miyom Sheba Zu. Since Esther has been coming to the Melech, lo ra'inu sheino beinenu. We don't get a chance to sleep for a moment because he's constantly having relations with her and that gets him very thirsty and we have to go bring him food and water all the time. Bo, not till Eris Baseifa, let's go bring him poison in the next time he asks for his glass of water or his glass of wine. Kadeshiyama, so we'll poison him so he dies so we can finally get some sleep. However, the Hang Lo Ayu Yodin, they didn't realize Ki Mordechai was sitting Biyoshe B'Shar HaMelech, Biyoshe Lishka Sagazitsuya. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin, and he knew the 70 languages, and therefore he understood exactly what they were saying. That was a criteria to be a member of the Sanhedrin. You had to know all the 70 languages so you could hear the testimonies of people in the direct language and not Ish Mipi Ish. And therefore, he was able to find out and foil their plot. Now, Amar Lo, one of them, Bigson, said to Sheresh, Balo, Ein Mishmarti, Umishmartucho, Shova. We don't serve at the same time. How are we going to carry this out? People are going to notice that we're missing from our post. So Amar Lo. So the other one said to him, no, I'll watch your post and my post. And Yeshwar Mishmarti Umishmartucha, and you'll be able to go and do the poisoning. I knew the Siv, that's what it means. When it says, Vayivukash HaDavor, they went and interrogated and found out and investigated. They went to seek Vayimotze, and they found out that they weren't at the post. Shalom Nimtzu B'Mishmarton. Oh, that's how they knew that Mordechai was in fact correct, and they foiled the plot of Big Son of Viserish. The Gemara continues, and we darshan the Megillah further. Achar hadvar meila, we say after this happened, after these things happened, only then was Haman appointed to become the second in command.
Now, the Girsa that we have is Achar Mai, after what? Or others have the Girsa, Mai Achar. Why is it saying Achar after this? So it teaches a very important principle. Amar Rava, again, Rava is predominant over here in telling us how to darshan the Megillah. Rava tells us, Achar Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refua Lamaka, that only after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Refua did he go and bring the Maka. We have this famous idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always prepares for the trouble that he's going to bring to Klal Yisrael, so he always prepares us beforehand that we should have the refuah there. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and only then did the difficulties in Mitzrayim start getting much worse. So, two over here. First, we had the creation of Mordechai being going to save Achashverosh's life and to have that ace in his sleeve. So, therefore, the refuah came before the Makkah. And that's what Reish Lakish said, Rava says. Domer Reish Lakish, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makeh Es Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never hits Klai Yisrael, unless Ela Im Kein, Borei Lehem Refuah Tchila. He first creates the Ratia, the bandage, before he creates the Makeh. So the Refuah always comes before the Makeh. Ela Im Kein, Borei Lehem Refuah Tchila. Shnemar. And we see this from, Ki Rofi Li Yisrael, V'nigla Avon Ephraim. This is an idea that the Pasuk tells us in Hosea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will heal Klai Yisrael, Kirofi Li Yisrael, and then the Nigla Avon Ephraim. First, I'll make sure that the cure is there, and afterwards, only then will I begin to punish them. As opposed to the rest of the world, that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Avol Umos Ha'olam, for the other nations of the world, other than Klai Yisrael, ain't okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't work in the same way. Makusan, he gives them a patch, he punishes them, and then only afterwards, Achakach Baralem Refuah, he makes a refuah. And this is based upon a different Pasuk, the pasuk in Yeshaya, where it says, "Shenema the nogaf Hashem in Mitzrayim, Hashem hit Mitzrayim, nogov." He gave them a patch, and then Rafa, and only afterwards did he go and cure them. Now, the Gemara continues. Darshin the Megillah, Vayives be'enov l'shloch yabu Mordechai levado. Haman was not happy just to attack Mordechai when Mordechai refused to bow down to him, but he wanted to attack all of Kaisel. Amar Rava, again, Rava darshins, and he says, B'tchila b'Mordechai levado. Originally, Haman was upset at Mordechai, but then he said, not just enough to be mad at Mordechai, I'll be mad at all of them. Well, b'sol b'am Mordechai, with the nation of Mordechai. Umanu, and who is this? The Rabbanan. Then he was upset with Mordechai, and then Am Mordechai, and then all of the Jewish people. And that's what it says, b'sol b'chol hayidun. It was with all the Jewish people that he was upset. We continue dashing the Megillah. He peeled poor Huagoro. So he went and did the lottery to figure out what's the best day for Klai Yisrael to be destroyed. And it came out on Yud Gimel Ador, Yud Gimel Ador, Yud Gimel Ador multiple times. Tana. So the Rice tells us, Kivin Shinofa poor Bechodesh Ador. When it came into the month of Ador, he was very, very happy. Samach Simcha Gedola. He said, this is great. This is the worst month for the Jewish people, because Omar, he said, look, the lottery shows that this is the way that God wants it to be, so to say, that the month that they're bereft of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shemes Bo Moshe, so this is the month that's a bad month for them, and therefore this is a great month for me to destroy the Jewish people. However, Haman was a fool. The lawyer day, he didn't realize Shebishiva Ba'adur Meis or Beshiva Ba'adur Nolai, that while, yes, Moshe Rabbeinu died on the day of Zayin Adar, he was also born on the day of Zayin Adar, as Rashi brings down. The pasuk in the Devarim tells us, "B'me'av yasrim shana anuchi hayom," which means hayom malu yomai ushnosai kedai haleida shetechaper lemisa, that the birth, so to say, makes up for the death, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a great month to the Jewish people that Moshe Rabbeinu was born during the month of Adar, and not a bad month. Then we have Haman saying, "Yeshno am echad mifuzor mifuro beinu amim." So we dash in each piece of that. So it says Yeshno Amechad. Now we dash in the word Yeshno in the following way. Amar Rava, again, Rava, he's critically important in darshing the Megillah. Rava tells us Lako the other Lishna Bisha Kaman. There was nobody ever as adroit at giving Lishna Bisha, that's saying Lashon Hara about the Jewish people, like Haman. Haman was the example of the Goebbels. Hashem Yimach Shumam Zichram. Both Haman and Goebbels had the same idea. They just spoke slander about the Jewish people. Now, what did he say? Amalei. So Haman said to Achashverosh, Ta Nichlinu, let us go and wipe out Kliya. Let us go destroy the Jewish people. So Achashverosh was afraid to do so. Amalei said, oh, not starting up with them, Mr. Fin, I'm afraid. May I look up from their God. The lowly Ovid be, Kid Ovid become I. Look what he did to Paro. Look what he did to all the other people that preceded me that started up with the Jewish people. I'm not starting up with them. So Haman says, Amalei, Haman says to him, no. Instead of Yeshno Amechad, he says, Yoshnu Amechad. Yoshnu min ha-mitzvos. They are sleeping from the mitzvos. They're no longer doing the mitzvos. And therefore,
it is something that now is a great opportunity to go and destroy them because they're asleep at the wheel, and therefore they will be punished. Amalei, so Achashverosh said, Isbu Rabban. Okay, not all of them are asleep at the wheel. You have the Rabban, and they're doing the mitzvos. And Haman answers, Amalei, no, they have a principle over here, Am Echad, Eishno Am Echad, Am Echad Heim. So Koyisol HaRevim Zel Zeh. So if some of them are doing sins, all of them are subject to punishment. And we know that this is true. Nebuch, when there's a pandemic in the world, Rashi uses that description, when there is Angelomusia, Baal Yolam, when there's this trouble coming to the world, so then everybody is impacted. Nobody can withstand the Midas Adin, even people that otherwise normally would be protected. So Am Echad, even though there are some righteous people, the bad people amongst Chai Yisrael, those that are sleeping for the mitzvos, so they'll be bringing the downfall of everybody else. You're going to tell me, Shema Tomar, Korach Ani Yosef Malchusecha. You're going to say, okay, if we erase the Jewish people, you're going to have bald spots in your kingdom. In other words, you're going to have problems with your economy, problems with population, etc. No, they're spread out. Mufuzar and Hein Bein Amim. They're all spread out, so you're not going to destroy any population by removing them from the economy. You're going to tell me, Shema Tomar, you're going to say, Is Hano Aminayu? Oh, but they pay a lot of taxes. They do a lot of benefit for society. No, Mifarad. They are really not helpful. They're like a ferret. A ferret is a ferret, is a mule, which is a sterile animal. They're Mifarad. Kifreda, he cursed us and said that we are a people that doesn't contribute anything to society. Susheno Osa Peros. And we don't really benefit society. The Jews are just sucking the blood from the society and don't contribute anything to society. Nebuch, this is an anti-Semitic canard that has been passed on to all of Haman's progeny and all of the anti-Semites of the world, that the Jews are like leeches, that we suck the blood from the world and don't contribute anything. Rachmona Lutzlan. You're going to tell me that, well, there's an area where they're consolidated, and therefore, if we wipe them out, you're going to have a bald spot again. So Talmud Lomar, no, it says, they're all over the place, and therefore, it's very easy to wipe them out. Haman continues, and he says, and they also have different rules and laws than everybody else, and therefore, they're not part of society. They separate themselves. They don't eat with us, so all our restaurants aren't being supported by them. Our food establishments aren't being supported by them. They don't help the economy. Hey, and they don't even let us marry their women. So they don't marry us. We don't marry them. So they're useless. They're not contributing to society. We don't miss the milan. We don't marry them. They don't marry us. So we don't. What do we need them for? And they don't follow the laws of the land, right? The Jews are always breaking the rules, they're saying. The Jews don't follow the king's laws. What do they say? The mafki lukula shata, they keep on saying every day, oh, we can't pay taxes because bishi, bipi, that bishabasi, pesachi, we don't work, so we're sorry, we have no taxes that we're paying today. We're not contributing to society. The anti-Semitic par excellence was Haman. So the anti-Semite par excellence was Haman. Then he continues, and it's of absolutely no value to you. There is no benefit to the nation to keep these Jews around. What does that mean? The Ochlu Vishasu Mavazule Lamachus, because they embarrass you. Never mind that they don't contribute anything, they actually are negatives. Why is that? Because they embarrass you with their eating and drinking. For example, Vafilu Nofel Zvuv Bekoso Shel Echamihan. If a fly were to fall into the cup of one of them, Zarko, they just take out the fly, Vishosay, and then they keep on drinking the rest of the cup. They're not disturbed by the fact that there was a fly in their cup. A dead fly in the cup, so they just throw away the fly and drink the rest of the cup. But if you were to touch the cup, then it becomes Yainesach, oh, then they throw it away. If you were to touch the cup, they would throw it down to the ground, they would spill it out, they don't say they won't drink it because now it's Yainesach, now they'll drink it. So you're worse than a fly, a dead fly, they'll drink the cup. But you touch it, they won't drink it. So they're embarrassing you. There's no value in keeping them around. And Haman continues with the slander of the Jewish people. If it's good in the heart of the king, that you should go and write that they should be destroyed, I'll pay you for it. I'll pay you money to go and destroy them. Unbelievable. He's willing to pay. That's how much he hated the Jews, to pay to destroy us. And Reish Lakish comments about this. I'm Reish Lakish. It's well known to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You knew that Haman would go and take these 10,000 pieces of silver and go and bribe Achashverosh to kill the Jewish people. So you already set up the refuah before the Makkah. So you had already set up Lefiko Chichtim Shikle and Lishkolab. So we give Machzis HaShekel, so we already defeated, so to say, his Shkolim by our previously giving our Shkolim. And that's what the Mishnah tells us in Shkolim, Vayinu Ditan, B'Echo B'Adar, on the first day of Adar, again, not a coincidence, it's the month of Adar, Mashmi'in al Shkolim al Kilayim, that we go send out the messages to remind people that the fiscal year starts on Nisan 1, and people should pay their Masas HaShekel, and also to uproot all the Kilayim that they may have, because this is the season that it starts to grow, and they have to uproot the Kilayim. Gemara continues, Dashin Megillah Vayomer, Melech Haman. So the Melech says to Haman, Hakesef Nosuluch, you can keep the money, I'm okay with it. Hakesef Nosuluch, the Am, Lassos Bo Katobi Necha, and you can do with the Klai Yisrael whatever you want. In other words, you can wipe them out if you want. Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba comments on this, and we turn to Yudal Ramad Aleph. Marshall, there's a great example over here. The Achashverosh v'Haman lema dover domer. This interaction between Achashverosh and Haman is comparable to the following story. L'shnei bnei Adam, two people. L'yachor ha'yelo tel. One of them had a mound of dirt besoch sadeh in his field, and he wanted to get rid of it. L'yachor ha'yelo choritz besoch sadeh. The other one had a ditch in his field. He had a hole in his field, and he wanted to fill it in. So therefore, they each had a need for the other one. So Baal Choritz, the one who has the hole in his field, the ditch in his field, says, "Oy, me tinli tail, Zebedame. Oh, I would love to pay for somebody to give me dirt and I can fill up this hole in my field." And Baal Tel, and the one who has the mound of dirt that he doesn't need and doesn't want, he says, "Oy, me tinli Choritz, Zebedame. I wish I could go and deposit my dirt in somebody else's hole and I'll pay them for it." So each of them was willing to pay for the other one's willing to pay also for. So therefore, they get up with each other, they meet up with each other, there's Davgu, they come and they meet up later on, and the one with the dirt says, "I want to get rid of my dirt," and the one with the hole says, "I need to fill in my hole." So, so the one who has the hole, the choritz, the ditch in his field, says to the one who has the mound of dirt, "Please sell me your dirt, and I'll buy it from you." And the one with the dirt says, "No, I'm only too happy to give it to you for free. It should be so easy for me to go and get rid of my dirt that you're willing to take it off me." So therefore, they were a wonderful pair. The two partners in Rishos, Achashverosh and Haman, that's what this marshal is, that they were talking this conversation. Each of them was only too anxious to see the Jewish people destroyed, Rachmana Litzlan, and Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thwarted the whole plan. The whole story of the Megillah will continue, Mitz Hashem, in tomorrow's share. With this, we conclude today's share.